Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about rebound headaches, or what is also known as medication overuse headaches. In the last podcast, we hit on this new daily persistent headache. And in that, I mentioned rebound headaches, because when you have a daily headache and you're looking for medication, or maybe you don't have daily headaches, but you're still pursuing the medication avenues, it can lead to daily headaches. It can lead to a more frequent problem. And so those two things go hand in hand, but we're going to set aside time in today's podcast to talk specifically about rebound headaches, or these medication use headaches. I want to talk about it because it's a subject that a lot of people that we interact with, whether virtually or in person, they're trying to navigate that. They're trying to navigate if they're taking too much medication. It can be tricky, because if you don't take the meds, you feel like, well, then I'll have the headaches or the migraines, and that's why I started taking these in the first place. But taking the meds actually has potential negative impact on you as well. So first, we'll just sort of define rebound headaches or medication overuse headaches, and then we'll talk about the why this might be happening. And then, of course, we'll lay out the practical steps that you guys can take, or things to think about as it relates to rebound headaches. And so you leave here feeling like, oh, okay, I have a better understanding of how I can help myself. I look up, before I do these podcasts, oftentimes I'll just search like generic searches on, just to understand what information is out there on the internet. Like, what is Google telling you when you search for something like rebound headaches and what to do about them? And I would say that almost 100% of the time, like, I'm just, I guess I shouldn't say shocked, because I'm not shocked. I'm just discouraged, because every time I do that, it just falls short of what I think should be provided to you, the patient, or to you, the person that's suffering with these symptoms. And especially when it comes to the medication world, they're hesitant to say don't take meds. I mean, they, of course, if that's the only solution, it makes sense that they would not avoid, because they want to provide a treatment. They want to provide something that will help you. But it's almost like a circular reasoning. And I'll get into it a little bit more. But it's, if this med doesn't work, try a different med. And if that med doesn't work, try these other meds. And so, and then they say, well, try the alternatives to medication, which they list as meditation, and not to say meditation can't be helpful, but there's just so much more. There's so much more than medication. And by reading these pages from Google, like, you just wouldn't get that from these prominent institutions. You wouldn't get that. You would just think, well, these are my options, and I take the meds, I manage the medication. If I get rebound, then I work with my doctor to maybe dial it back or try another med. And like, you're just in that cycle. That's all there is. And so this podcast exists to help us break out of that cycle. So rebound is just referring to long-term use of medications to treat headaches. And so about 80% or so of rebound headaches are from people that also have the migraine diagnosis, so a little heavy on the migraine side. But it's basically just long-term use of any medication that is treating your headaches. So you start with a headache really of any type, you take medication, and then you find yourself, or could find yourself, in this state of rebound. There are two medications that are more likely to cause these rebound headaches, and that would be the opioids and the barbiturates. So the opioids would be the ones that we're all probably familiar with, the Oxycontin, Vicodin, Percocet, the strong painkillers. We do have patients on those every now and then. I would say largely our healthcare is getting better. Our healthcare system is getting better at not prescribing those as frequently as we used to, so we don't see those too often. But like a Furoset would be our barbiturate. And so those have a higher incidence of rebound, and that's just because they have this addictive property to them. So you find yourself wanting to take them more because of that addictive property. And so I think that's why those are in that higher likelihood category. And so the threshold for their diagnosing rebound headaches, it's lower, like the frequency of taking those meds is lower than others. But any medication, it's not as if there's not necessarily a medication where, like, if you take this med, you can take it as much as you want. And like, there's no side effects and there's no way it could ever cause a headache. Like, it's not really a thing. It's just, you can almost think of it like if you take more meds, it puts you at higher risk than taking less meds or no meds. And so it doesn't, I mean, we can get into the specifics of the type of medication and of course, like the frequency is important to understand, like how frequently generally would it lead to a rebound. But it's not, I mean, when it comes to like the frequency, it's, you know, at least 10 days per month for certain meds and 15 days per month for others. But it's like, if you take them 9 days, it's just taking meds. And especially if you take them frequently, you're at risk of the medication itself essentially causing a headache, like it keeping you in that cycle. So the reason they're called rebound is because you might take a medication, you might get a slight reduction in your symptoms, but then once you stop taking it, the headache comes back and oftentimes it's worse. All right. So, and that gets a little fuzzy because you're like, well, the medication helped, so I just need to take it again. But the thing that's tricky to discern, but that's happening, is the medication is impacting your body, your pain threshold, your nervous system or your neurological system enough where you're actually getting the headache from the medication, but it still kind of has some therapeutic effect. And so you just keep taking it, but over time it just sort of builds and gets worse. About 1% of people worldwide are impacted by this, which seems, that seems like, yeah, that's crazy. That's a lot of people. I mean, because if you think about it, that means that many people have headaches, and of those that have headaches, they need medication frequently enough, so more than 10 or 15 days a month, that put them in this rebound category. And that's, you know, and those are the people, and that's the information that we're actually getting. So I would say, you know, 1% is probably higher than that. I know there's a few studies that are like 2%, 2.something%, but in general population, like 1% of people are dealing with this. That's a lot of people. And like I said, migraines account for about 80% of rebound headaches. So the standard definitions, when we look at like the International Classification of Headache Disorders, if you can be diagnosed with this if you have at least 15 days per month related to like headaches, more than 15, at least 15 days plus per month that are associated, and it says with a previously existing headache disorder. And so that is just like any type of headache. And then if you have it more than 15 days per month, and you're regularly using medication to treat the headaches, and then you do that for at least 3 months. And so they just sort of put these time frames around it. And I think that's just, it's not as if like, you know, 1 month in, you can't have rebound. I think it just means like they're confident enough to like classify it as a rebound headache after 3 months. I can't imagine, and mainly because they don't totally know what's happening. But I would imagine that that's more of a confidence thing rather than like it is happening or it's not happening. So, you know, if you're like, ooh, it's only been like 6 weeks, so I'm good. No, that's not, I wouldn't think that way. I would just know that if you're taking medication frequently, like more than 10 days a month, and you've been doing that, like the longer you're doing it, the more at risk you are of this. Okay. So if it's 1 month, if it's 3 months, if it's 6 months, if it's years, this is worth talking about. All right. Not everyone we see has such a high dependence on medication. So sometimes we've got patients that they have migraines frequently enough where, you know, if they took the meds, they could be at risk of rebound, but they know that the medications aren't getting to the root of it. So they decide like, I'm not going to take this. And that's great. I know that some people, you know, they desire that, like they don't want to take meds. And I would say this is most people, they don't want to take the meds, but you know, they don't really have another option. And so it's that scenario where, like, I want to help you guys. I want you to understand that just, you know, going to your neurologist and saying, hey, I might have rebound and these rebound headaches. I want to see if the medication is causing it. And then the neurologist says, okay, we'll try this other prescription. You leave going, well, that feels like they didn't listen to me because they just handed me another script for another med that might do the same thing. I want you guys to feel like you're empowered to understand something outside of that. So why would this happen? Well, there's two scenarios that could be happening. One is your body accommodates to the medication over time. And that's where time increases our confidence that this is actually what's happening. But if you take a medication, it's impacting your body at the chemical level. So it's receptors, it's transmitting something, it's mimicking those transmitters, it's mimicking hormones, there's different impacts that medication has. And so the body will understand and accommodate to whatever the medication is over time. And so one of those accommodations might be a reduction in the impact that medication has. In addition to that, if the impact of the medication is reduced, the medication is still going to have its side effects. So the side effects might be, you know, just the negative response to artificially telling your body to do something that wasn't naturally going to do itself. And so one of those negative side effects could be, and this is the other thing that can happen here. Hey, all, I wanted to let you in on some exciting news. Novera Headache Center is growing. We're expanding. We now have two locations. One of the needs we have is to actually hire another physical therapist, a physical therapist, and then potentially even administrative staff. So if you are a physical therapist, if you know of a physical therapist, or maybe you're not a physical therapist, you just have a skill set that you think we could benefit from in our mission to educate and empower people with headaches and migraines, what I want you to do is to email hello@noveraheadachecenter.com, and we will get you started on this application process. We'll start the conversation. We want to tap into the network of people we already have who get what we're doing and want to be a part of this mission. So we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much. Is when we understand neurologically, so the brain and these nerves that run from our brainstem out to our fingertips, and so signals are transmitted all the time. That's how we feel things. That's how we feel pain. That's how we feel dull sensations, tickling, light touch, itch, and so those sensations, those signals are sent through a nerve that then the brain interprets and says, this is what's happening and here's the location. And so we know that we've talked about before that pain is subjective. And so how our brain responds to pain can vary from person to person. And so one person that has a higher, has a history of higher medication use, they might have a lower threshold for tolerating pain. They might actually... So the medication might impact that whole process in a negative way. This is one of the things they speculate is happening. So again, we're artificially inserting, serotonin is manipulated oftentimes with migraine medications. And so if we're mimicking serotonin and we're just putting in something artificial that sort of like gets our body to respond as if serotonin has increased, and then over time, it loses its impact, but we just keep doing it. Maybe we need higher doses or whatever it may be. The side effects could be that our body is now hypersensitive to that in a sense where like it thinks we're in pain. Almost like if the solution we assume is medication, when it's not necessarily the solution, it's just a way of masking it. And you just try to... maybe an analogy is, you know, you've got this, this little fire you're trying to put out but the way you put it out is just like you cover it, you put it in a closet or something, like you ignore it. Like you don't actually put it out. You just sort of like shove it somewhere where you can't see it. And then over time, like, you know, it's still a problem. It's still an issue that needs to be addressed, but you're just sort of ignoring it. And then over time, it just keeps building and building. And the way you handled it actually is making it somewhat worse. And you're hypersensitive to it, things like that. I'm not sure if that's a perfect analogy, but I feel like it does hit on this sense of like, if we ignore the underlying problem, we just sort of like, you know, shove it under the rug, it's still there. It's not gone. And so it's in a sense, it's like coming back every time we don't mask it with the meds. It's sort of coming back with more of a vengeance and just continues to build. And so when we think about alternatives in the healthcare setting, if you want an alternative to medication, or you're saying, okay, I have medication overuse, I have rebound headaches, the recommendations are Botox. And I mean, Botox it's a toxin. It's injected into muscle tissue to essentially paralyze it. And which Botox, I did a podcast on it a while ago, but it's kind of funny because it reduces your tension. Like it reduces muscle tension. But that's as far as they take it. It's like, well, Botox works. Well, I mean, if we're going to ask the question, well, why does Botox work? Why do you have tension in the first place? Well, let's look at what the muscle does. And the muscle is there to help you move and help you sustain posture and help you be stable. And so what would be an issue musculoskeletally that might be causing this? It's like, well, no, it's not musculoskeletal, but Botox does help. Like, I don't get it. But Botox is one of the alternatives. And then they say long-acting NSAIDs and topiramate, which is an anti-seizure drug. So, I mean, hopefully if you're listening to this, you're not just like, gung-ho for meds. Like, I feel like I would probably irritate people that are just like, you know, meds are the only thing that has worked ever. And if anyone says anything different, they're crazy. Like if that's you, that's fine. It's just, this is not the podcast for you. So the people that listen to this podcast, if you go to your neurologist and they say, oh, we're going to try Botox or long acting NSAIDs or topiramate, I would imagine you're going to be a little disappointed by that. So, I did find this helpful chart online. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it says at least 10 days per month or at least 15 days per month for these different meds, as far as like categorizing yourself as being in or diagnosing someone with rebound. So the triptans, the opioids, the barbiturates, the ergotamines, the NSAIDs, the Excedrin, you know, the caffeine added acetaminophens, like those are the ones where 10 days or more per month can put you in that category of being diagnosed with this. And those are mostly what people are taking, like these abortive meds, like triptans. And, you know, if you're having to take 10 or more, it's, you could be in this medication overuse category. And then 15 days or more a month of just like general NSAIDs, acetaminophen, so the ones that don't have the, you know, not the Excedrin added to it. So if we want to think, okay, so what do we do about this? Going back to that like solution-based approach. There's a few things here. One, early intervention. So if you have the onset of headaches or migraines and you're like, okay, I need to do something about this, I would say act on it. And when I say act on it, I'm not saying like go get the prescription filled right away. I'm saying change your lifestyle. Listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're aware that physically our neck can take on tension that can cause head and facial pain. Pursue that right away. It can be anything from massage to physical therapy to chiropractic to changing your posture to moving more to exercising to eating healthy. Just look at overall health and what could you do better? What could you improve? So let's start there and see where we get. I would also just in general, I mean, avoid the opioids, the barbiturates, those are higher likelihood. And those are really, I mean, they're addictive medications. And so if you can avoid those, let's avoid those. I know that medication as a whole might not be an option to just avoid medications altogether. But if you've gotten this cycle where the headache just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and maybe it's changing a little bit where it's all over. I mean, it still resembles the initial headache you have, but it's sort of like it's less descriptive. Maybe it's just pops up every morning. It's not really connected to anything that you're doing throughout the day, and you're just sort of losing track of it. That's where you're starting to think, okay, this might be a medication overuse type headache. And so I would, yeah, I would seriously consider, no matter what med you're taking, like I need to figure out how to reduce the meds so that my body can sort of reset, so that you're looking at, you know, the fire in your room, and you're going to treat it appropriately. You're going to say, I'm going to put this fire out in the appropriate way. I'm not just going to shove it on the rug. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to put it in the closet. I'm going to address it, and I'm going to address it understanding the source. And hear me say that with, like, I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, because obviously if you're listening to this, you're on this journey to understand what's happening, and you've seen providers and they haven't answered those questions. So it's not like it's your fault that you haven't figured this out. So that's where that analogy falls short, because clearly you would put the fire out if you knew how to. And that's what I'm here to help you with. Okay, so the other thing you can do is maybe reduce your caffeine intake. There is a little bit of a connection here. If you have more than like a cup or two a day of coffee, I would dial back. I would for sure dial back. Caffeine is one of those that, you know, it helps sometimes, but if you have a higher, if you have a higher amount of coffee every day, I would reduce it to just a cup or two, less than 200 milligrams. And so, because there is that connection there, and it should be a relatively easy thing to dial back, I would dial that back. So if you have, like, you know, cups of coffee throughout the day, let's reduce that and see what happens. I would also look to understand pain, just understand how pain is perceived. So I've talked about it a little bit. Go back to previous podcasts that I've done on, like, pain science and how we interpret pain. Because if you understand pain appropriately and understand that even though it feels like, you know, your head's going to explode or you're dying, or this is just this excruciating pain. And by the way, I don't want to dismiss, this is a, you know, disclaimer, like this, if you have had no one in the healthcare world look at you and you just have this recent onset of some debilitating head pain, like, yeah, you don't take this podcast and be like, well, it's all my neck. Like, no, there are things that can happen. But when we get into this, like, anxiety driven healthcare system that, like, no one has answers and you're searching, understand that your symptoms could be circled back or drawn to or stemming from, that's a better term, just this neck problem with where you have neck tension, you have shoulder tension, you have jaw tension, and specifics of that are sending a pain signal into your head. And so understanding that can actually be provide people with a sense of relief of, like, oh, this isn't worse than I thought. And then you can sort of calm your central nervous system down. And then also just understanding that, like, we want your brain to be resilient. We want mental resiliency. So if you are anxious or depressed or things like that, which can also be a side effect of these meds. So look for that. If you find yourself being anxious or depressed after you're taking these meds, or just in general, don't necessarily just link it to, like, oh, it's because I have headaches. Like, the medication can impact you that in that way as well. So, treating the medication or treating the depression and anxiety, as well. And so that can be, or just understanding that that has an impact. And then understanding pain itself. So the mental side of this is important to consider, where mental resiliency, understanding how your body is responding to pain and the alarm signals are going off and how the medication could be impacting that, just understanding that can be a step in the right direction. Practically, as far as treatment is concerned, there's protocol-based dry needling. So if you haven't listened to Dr. Sarah Zeman's podcast, she's one of our providers here. She talks about protocol-based dry needling, and it is very helpful, especially in these situations where someone has a higher sensitivity to the pain, and we just need to get their nervous system to calm down, and they're in this flight or flight mode, like everything is just on high alert all the time. We need that to get that to calm down. So this protocol-based dry needling with electrical stimulation placed through the needles so that we get this sort of pulsing sensation to calm down the muscle tissue. If you can find a therapist that does that, I mean, reach out to us. Of course, we can provide that type of service. And then lastly, I mean, it's just this general idea of finding the relief through treating the underlying source of these symptoms, which is oftentimes going to stem from a movement problem. So loss of movement in the upper part of the neck, there's shoulder tension that plays into it. I mean, our necks have to hold up this 10 to 12 pound head throughout the day. And I've said this a lot, but it's like going through life, never brushing your teeth. You end up with a bunch of cavities and you think, well, how did this happen? Like, I didn't do anything crazy to cause cavities. Well, of course you didn't. You did a lot of little things throughout life that added, it threw off the pH of your mouth and your teeth enamel started to wear down and now you have cavities. Well, you just didn't know how to take care of your teeth. Well, it's like we're all going through life. We don't really know how to take care of our necks or even know what to look for when our necks have a problem. But it's right there in front of us. It's headaches. And then what we need to do is provide our necks with the movement that they need. For a lot of people, that means like we do the hands-on treatments like we do here at Novera. But it can mean just general things like being active, exercising. And then there's specifics of like morning and evening. What is the brush your teeth and floss of your neck? And what does your neck need? And that can be a little nuanced person to person. And that's what we help people understand. But addressing the actual underlying cause, and I said this in the last podcast, is the best step to take. And so whether you're in a chronic daily persistent headache, or you're struggling to get off of meds, so you're worried about these rebound headaches or these medication overuse headaches, treating the underlying source is always going to be the best route, even though as time goes on, as more medication is on board, as our brain gets more sensitive to these things, it gets more complicated, we can always work backwards. And that's a wonderful thing about our bodies is we were designed to, we respond to stress in negative ways and in positive ways. So if we provide the positive over time, it'll work in our favor. And so that's, yeah, there's my optimism. There's my encouragement to you guys. And I hope you can leave here with more than just, you know, the Google search I found with these prominent institutions of like try Botox. I hope this is more encouraging. What I want you to do, I know you've heard me say it a lot, but this podcast, like our marketing strategy is you, meaning like provide you with good information and then you share it because you feel empowered and educated. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to help someone else. I want you to like, subscribe. I want you to share this podcast with someone who might find it helpful. And then of course, if you're needing relief or if you know someone who needs relief, I want you guys to reach out to us so that we can help you on this journey of finding relief. As always, thank you so much for listening and being a part of this journey. It's our mission on this podcast to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so you can break free from that life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. I'll talk to you next time. Hey guys, before we sign off, just one last reminder that we are looking to hire a physical therapist. If you know of a physical therapist or if you are one and you want to join our mission, again, send us an email at hello@noveraheadachecenter.com and we'll get you started on the process. Thanks so much for being a part of this mission and listening to this podcast and sharing, spreading the word. We'll see you next time.